Scripture today is out of the Gospel of Matthew. Excuse me, chapter 2, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child of Mary, his mother, with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. The scripture today is a familiar one. Most of us here have heard this story at least three other times in our lives, I would imagine. It is usually during the Advent, Christmas, and correctly, Epiphany season. It is a story of how glorious the Son of God is that even strangers traversed thousands of miles to pay homage to him. Is that really the story, though? Is it really as cut and dry as that? I certainly don't think so. There is intrigue, double-crossing, and extreme or even blind faith, depending on your interpretation. The daytime soap opera industry could learn a thing or two just from this small passage in the Bible. The book of Matthew sits perfectly at the beginning of the New Testament, where it can bridge the two testaments by showing the fulfillment of prophecies of the Hebrew tradition. It is that bridge that brings us to King Herod and the story of the one who will be the king of the Jews. In the first verses of this scripture, the wise men present themselves to King Herod on their way through to honor Jesus. Although it's never specifically mentioned, we assume there are three travelers based on the number of gifts they have brought with them, the gold, frankincense, and the myrrh. King Herod married into the Jewish royal family and was put in charge of Judea by Caesar Augustus, and he was in power from 37 to 4 BCE. The wise men, although guided by the star, stopped in the city of Jerusalem to inquire where they might find the new king of the Jews. Herod knew the prophecy that surrounded the coming of the king, and he was frightened for his own claim to the throne. Upon hearing the mission of the wise men, Herod gathered his trusted officials, asking them where this king may be located. The priests, lawyers, and teachers of Jerusalem would have been on this council, and they informed King Herod that the child the wise men were inquiring about was indeed a sign that the prophecy had surely been fulfilled, and he could be found in Bethlehem. I picture King Herod looking a lot like Jafar from Disney's Aladdin, twisting his long, pointy beard as he hears the news of the king that was in Bethlehem. Herod was not a man of strong moral fiber. He was ruthless, and he knew how to use his military and his wits to his advantage. When the information of the prophecy had been confirmed, Herod dismissed his council and met with the wise men. Herod played off his interest in the journey as simply wanting to know where he could also travel to praise this new king. The wise men set out following the same star, intent on returning to Herod with the location of that new king. Many scholars feel that the star that the travelers were following could have been a cluster of stars made to look like one big one. It's also possible that the star was really a comet, later known as Halley's. This theory also leads us to believe that the wise men, or magi, were astrologers, who would have paid attention to the movement of the stars as signs of big world news. They arrived in Bethlehem, and the star stopped. In this narrative, it is supposed that by this time Jesus was already about 2 years old. Although other birth narratives describe the Holy Family as coming to Bethlehem from Nazareth during the census, the Gospel of Matthew suggests that the family lived in Bethlehem for some time. When they found him, they were overcome with joy. Their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were gifts fit for a king, gold because it is, well, gold. Frankincense and myrrh are derived from the gum resin of trees, and their fragrances encouraged the highest social classes to use them in their rituals. Myrrh is an oil that would have been specifically used as anointing and healing, while the frankincense could be used to alleviate stress and anxiety, all things that a good leader would promote. The night they arrived in Bethlehem, after they had given their gifts and praise to the young king, the Magi were warned in a dream not to take part in Herod's plot. When it came time for them to head home, they chose another road to avoid returning to Herod. God is not outright named in this text, but God is present throughout it. The star that the wise men followed was set by God. The dream they had before returning home was set by God. God does not always make a grand entrance. Sometimes God's presence is subtle. What seems to be a coincidence or just the way it goes might hold a small clue of how God is carving our path subtly. There's another place in the text where I see God, and that is in their meeting of Herod. How strange it is to me that the wise men, guided by a star and knowing the prophecy, would need to stop and ask for directions. And how strange that they decided to stop, as it turns out, so close to their final destination. Remember, Bethlehem is only a few miles from the city of Jerusalem. They had come so far, yet they had stopped. Perhaps the reason they stopped in the city and to speak with King Herod was just a way to show their respect for the ruler of the realm they were entering. Whatever the reason behind their stop, the wise men were inspired to pull in for the evening. And how odd that they would find themselves involved in a plot to destroy a young child. Hey man, we just needed directions. The whole charade is a less romantic version of Casablanca. Of all the joints in all the world, we had to walk into this one. And yes, they did. They had to stop and request audience with King Herod. They had to become involved in the plot against the Holy Family. It was through their involvement that God was able to reveal to them, through Jesus. We have been exposed to an awful lot of unrest in the recent months and years. There's a lot of worrying filling our hearts as we enter into Epiphany, a time of celebrating the Magi's understanding of the Messiah. What will become of us? What will become of our denomination? What is happening in our world? The children of God are being singled out based on who they are and how they were created. Blame and hatred are being slung out of hand and out of context. History is repeating itself in more ways than one. It is up to us to use the knowledge that we have of the past to ensure that the paths chosen by those in power do not destroy our own paths to salvation. God allows us to use the knowledge we have so that God's will is done in times of confusion. Herods exist everywhere. Whether it be in a small scale with a boss, like, or a coworker or family member, or in a large scale with world leaders and those sworn to protect, there are going to be people in positions of power that are going to throw up roadblocks. There will always be people and sometimes laws trying to keep us from living the lives God has willed for us. Perhaps we are meant to come across these people in our lives. Perhaps we need to see what we are up against before we can do what we will be called to do. Perhaps this is all leading us to a time when we will need our skills honed and ready. Herod's antagonists, the other side, it's always going to be there. Not everything that we encounter is going to be to the extreme of a king tried to kill an innocent baby. But we are going to be challenged in our daily lives. We are going to happen upon issues that are going to bring us discomfort. But it is then that we can remember the miracle of that the Magi felt the night that they arrived in Bethlehem. They had an epiphany. They gained a total understanding of what kind of king they had come to see. All of the puzzle pieces to their journey had come together. All of the reasons they felt so uneasy in the city had become clear. They were able to fully see that the child in front of them was the savior of the world. The Magi of the Bible represent the Gentiles of the time. Epiphany celebrates the time when the rest of the world, beyond Israel, was introduced to the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ. So what does that really mean for us? We do not have an actual star to follow, but we have a whole list of instructions on how to treat one another. What do we do then when we encounter times in our life that feel off or feel the opposite of what our instruction guide tells us? Do we return to Herod, or do we return to God? The hope of each pastor and the hope of Jesus Christ is that we would all return to God. The hope is that when we are faced with a decision that could be detrimental to ourselves or someone else, we would stop, and before we cause too much harm, we would return to God. The choice to return back to Herod, to a time or a place where we are not our best, to a time when we were under the influence of something sinister and unhealthy, something we knew was wrong while we were in the midst of it, but yet we had not awakened into the full life of faith. The choice to return to God allows us to move in harmony. It allows us to see each person has worth and the potential to be greater than they are. A return to God enlightens each one of us and gives us the glimpse into the holy kingdom. On this Epiphany Sunday, we have seen the true identity of this tiny child, and we can either return to a life of ignorance, mistrust, and slander, or we can return by another road that leads us to the holiest of holies, Almighty God. The Magi followed the star. They took their knowledge of the prophecy and their knowledge of astrology and headed out. When I think of the wise men, I think of their faith and their own knowledge and in their ultimate faith in God. They were Gentiles, and they came from their lands to pay homage to a king that, as far as they knew, would never have any authority over them. They were overwhelmed with the joy at the sight of the child, and they knew they could have no part in his destruction. They trusted in God and followed the direction of the Holy Spirit. We can follow the example of the wise men. God inspires our journey even before we know we are on it. We need to be willing to hear that inspiration and to follow it. So here we are. We are immersed in a time of uncertainty, surrounded by storylines that have surely been made up by the daytime soap operas. Alas, there are no Emmys being won here. These times are real. And whether we are ready or not for it or not, we have set out on our journey. God will see us through to our destinations. So go. Go with God in your heart and follow your star wherever it leads you. Amen.